1st. COAG, the Council of Australian Governments, is no more. Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced over the weekend, unveiling plans to replace COAG meetings with meetings of the National Cabinet once a month. The Council was founded in 1992 and served as a forum for communication between the state and federal governments on matters of key importance. Sometimes criticised for being overly bureaucratic, the decision to scrap COAG was made after the success of the National Cabinet meetings, which the Prime Minister claimed were more flexible and less formal. To find out more about this change, Ryan Stanton spoke with Stephen Duckett, Program Director of Health at the Grattan Institute, about what the role of COAG really was.
So COAG was a meeting of the Prime Minister with the state and territory chief ministers and premiers, together with one representative from the Australian Local Government Association. It was the formal peak. So there's a health council that reports to COAG. There's a environmental council, which consists of the ministers in environment or the ministers in health. But sometimes issues can't be resolved at that ministerial level, and you need sign-off at the whole of government level. And that's what COAG was established to do, and that's what it has been doing until now.
COAG has often been criticised for being a bit too bureaucratic. Can you explain a little bit to us about why this might have been the case?
Well, I think it may well be bureaucratic, but I think boring is probably a better word for it. That one of the things it did was sign off on things where there'd been a whole lot of predigestion done at the, say, the Health Ministerial Council, and before that at the Directors General, the bureaucratic Health Peak Council. And so there was a lot of just the routine business of a federation that needed to be signed off by heads of government. And so it wasn't, most of that stuff was not particularly exciting, but it was necessary in a federation. The other thing about COAG was that the Commonwealth had a whole lot of money and the states had none, and so there were fights about money, and that became quite fractious. And so what happened with National Cabinet is there was a unifying purpose, namely to how we're going to deal with COVID-19.
This united front has been one of the reasons that the National Cabinet has been getting a lot of praise. How long do you expect this unity to last for?
In COAG, the power was all with the Commonwealth because they held the purse strings, or they hold the purse strings, whereas the National Cabinet, the power was more evenly distributed. And so and there was a single purpose and a unified purpose. And so it worked much better. So I think the COAG and the National Cabinet were to some extent quite different beasts. When we move out of the COVID crisis mode into the transition period, there might still be able to be this commonality and unity of purpose in the economic recovery, but I think it's going to be a bit harder to get that unified purpose post the immediate crisis.
What happens next after the Cabinet has dealt with COVID and is continuing on in its role as a replacement for COAG?
So I think, Ryan, looking into my crystal ball, there are a couple of ways this can evolve. So it might just work. It might just be that there's sufficient commonality of purpose that we maintain some of the strengths of the National Cabinet. It might be that if we end up just the Commonwealth telling the states what they ought to do, it's not going to work. We're going to go back to the old disputes between the Commonwealth and the states. And the other issue is what's going to happen with this routine business of a federation. And some of it, the states may say, we want to continue harmonisation of regulations, for example. And so we're going to use a different mechanism, and there's a thing called the Council of the Australian Federation. And so that might get a bit of reinvigoration where the states just say, well, we can sign off on things ourselves and we don't have to have the Commonwealth present. We'll just do this stuff which is state business, and part of the harmonisation issues, we just might continue to do this but just do it ourselves. And so we'll end up with two different national structures.
Is there anything else we should keep in our mind when we're looking at the National Cabinet?
I think we've got to remember that these people sitting around the table are politicians. And so National Cabinet was beneficial to the Commonwealth because it dealt them into the business of the lockdowns and so on. And it was beneficial to the states because it gave them political cover. And so it served a mutual beneficial political purpose. We don't yet know whether the continuation of the National Cabinet will simply serve the Commonwealth's benefit purpose or whether the states will like this new model and will like the ability to be involved in some of these decisions if they can be.
Stephen Duckett, Program Director of Health at the Grattan Institute, speaking with Ryan Stanton.